Today is a glorious day, not just because it's spring and the sun is shining, but because it is Resurrection Sunday. It's the day that we celebrate Jesus being risen, being alive forevermore. In one of the parsonages where Jeff and I lived, I think like two or three churches ago, there were two huge azalea bushes. One, when it bloomed, was completely full of bright pink flowers. And the other was completely full of bright purple flowers. And every time we drove by, we just had to stop and admire the beauty of those flowers. Gorgeous flowers bring beauty to our lives if we take the time to stop and appreciate that gift. Jeff and I both grew up in the Southeast. He grew up in Augusta, Georgia, home of the Masters Golf Tournament, one of the foremost azalea showplaces in the world. People in the South treasure their azaleas, and we have some pretty ones when they're in bloom outside of this church. These flowers are a constant reminder of the fact that something plain and green will be every year transformed into something beautiful and gorgeous at a certain time. And because the azaleas bloom right before Easter, we think of their blooming and the story of Christ's resurrection as events that are celebrated together, the coming of the beauty of spring and the life that Jesus gives us eternally. How fortunate that we have symbols that replicate physically what the resurrection of Jesus symbolizes spiritually for us. Many of us live on the promise of Resurrection Day because maybe we have loved ones who have gone on before us to eternity. It's quite true that because Jesus was resurrected, our loved ones will be with him as well. Jesus said, "I go and prepare for you a place that where I am, you may be also." He's made that promise to us. We hope that one day we will be reunited with our loved ones, but even more importantly, we will be united with Christ for eternity. What will that be like? We don't know for sure, but we know it'll be wonderful. It will be special. It will be forever, and it will be filled with the love of God. Does this make the here and now irrelevant when we think about eternity? If we're not careful as God's resurrection people, we can slip into that type of thinking. What is that song in the Sweet By and By? It's wonderful to think about the sweet by and by, but not if it fills up our everyday. We need to think about the here and now, living, serving God. When Jesus was resurrected, God intended for that resurrection to have a very strong and powerful impact on us, not just for eternity, but for the world that the disciples were going to be living in for many more years. God was intentional in coming to this world as a little baby, born into a poor family in Bethlehem to Mary and Joseph. It is that messy, difficult, and troubled world that needs God's power and guidance. God's heavenly kingdom needs no extra help. The place where resurrection power is needed is on planet Earth. On Easter Sunday, we are not to think only about how Jesus' resurrection will help us to live on past our death, but how we can, with God's power, live resurrected and changed lives here and now. Many of us are familiar with that song that Bill and Gloria Gaither sang, "Because He Lives," and we heard a beautiful rendition today from our choir. Its message is meant for those living in a world that seems unresurrected. But we are only able to live in such a world because Christ gives us the resurrection power, not just in heaven, but His Spirit is present in all of His believers in the here and the now. A lot of people are skeptical about the resurrection of Jesus. Even His own disciples were skeptical at first. When the women told the male disciples that angels had spoken to them and that Jesus was no longer dead but was alive, the apostles said it was an idle tale. They thought these women, who also were faithful disciples of Jesus, were just making up a crazy story because of their grief. These women wanted Jesus to be alive, so they created this untrue story about His resurrection. This was not a very noble moment for the male disciples. They were discounting the witness of these women just because they were women. These same women followers were the ones who were mentioned in the gospel who helped to subsidize Jesus' ministry out of their own pocketbooks. Joanna, Mary Magdalene, some of the others. They were faithful givers, as I'm sure many of the men were too, to help support Jesus' ministry. And they loved Jesus very dearly, just as the men disciples did. But at this moment in time, the women's faith was greater than the disciples, because they genuinely believed what the angel told them about Jesus. Jesus was risen indeed. He was alive and well, and He was no longer dead. Well, it's true that it's hard for some people to believe that reality. However, once the disciples saw Jesus, they talked with Him, they walked with Him, they ate breakfast together by the Sea of Galilee. All their doubts were erased. Every one of them became powerful witnesses to Christ's resurrection. They believed it with all of their being. When they were threatened with execution, if they would not withdraw their proclamations about Jesus, they chose death rather than to renounce their beloved Savior. Why would anyone go to the grave for a lie, for an idle tale, for a falsehood? They suffered imprisonment, beatings, rejection, hostility, and executions from the state because of their faith in Christ, the risen one. We too have choices regarding our own faith in Christ. Do we sincerely believe in His resurrection? Does it make any difference to us? This past week, I saw a post on Facebook that touched me. It was very simple, and I'm paraphrasing because I probably didn't get it exactly right, but it had this really pretty picture of a butterfly, and it asked this question: do you want to fly like a butterfly? If you do, you must be willing to give up on being a caterpillar. I love that idea. You cannot stay down on the ground and fly in the air all at the same time. You must choose which reality you want to live in. If I put my trust in Jesus, then I can choose to accept Him completely and put all of who I am in His loving care. If God is the source of life, then surely God can arrange a resurrection. Jesus promised a life with Him beyond our physical death. The phrase of an old beloved hymn comes to mind: only trust Him, only trust Him. Only trust Him now, for He will save you. We want to fly like butterflies. We want to be the best Christians that God wants us to be. To rise to our fullest potential. To offer beauty and grace to the world. If God can resurrect Jesus and take 11 fearful disciples and some tenuous women and turn them into a movement of love and grace that lives even here and now to impact us 2,000 years later, then truly the resurrection of Jesus is meant for the world that we live in. One commentator expresses that, quote, "The point of Easter is that this world, God's good creation, matters. What we do, how we live, as people created in God's image, in God's good creation, has ultimate significance when we understand ourselves to be a part of God's mission of a new creation." 2 Corinthians 5:17 shares, "If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new." We care for ourselves, we care for each other, and we care for the earth because we know that God has not and will not abandon this creation project, but will ultimately make it whole again. As we await that great day, we are to spend our lives not giving in to death or despair, but embracing the goodness of life. The point of the gospel isn't that we go to heaven to be with God, but that God comes here to be with us. The Lord's Prayer says, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Whether we are two people gathered or 100 people gathered or thousands gathered, each day we live is another opportunity to advance the coming kingdom of God here on earth. Unquote. John Killinger tells of a woman that was in his congregation. She was married and young and had a little baby, but one day her husband deserted her. She was all alone in the world, a long way from her family. And with this child, she didn't know what she was going to do. All the light had gone out of her life. So in desperation, she took the money that she had and went to Yosemite National Park, where she had once known great happiness. So for 6 days, she went on this like retreat from the world. And she walked and she climbed and she sat and she thought. The heaviness was almost unbearable. But on the 6th day, she was sitting on a great boulder and she noticed that she was staring at a small tree growing out of a rock. It was a miracle, she thought, the way the tree grew out of the rock. For years, the weather had worked on that rock, heating it, freezing it, heating it, freezing it, until finally some erosion had happened and some of the rock had crumbled and become powder. And eventually some seed had caught in that specific eroded section of the rock and found enough nourishment in that unexpected place to spring into life. "It was the message I needed," she said. "I knew it had taken ages for that rock to break down and for life to grow on it again. And I realized that however long it took me, my own barren existence could be fruitful and productive again. That God could make something grow in me in the way that he had helped that tree to grow out of a rock. It was a turning point in my life, she writes. I was able to go home again, living, because I knew that God could bring life out of death and despair. Unquote. So no matter what we may be facing in our lives, maybe we're crawling on the ground, low and down and out, like a caterpillar. But God can give us resurrection life, that we can be transformed and fly high and give beauty to the world once again. So may the resurrection of Jesus Christ bring new life to you and to me and into this world, here and now. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.